nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
25 years ago, I was in Newark, New Jersey, and it was one fateful day as I saw smoke coming up on the other side of the river in New York. It was September 11th, 2001, 9/11. The day when the World Trade Center towers were hit and attacked. And those towers came down. It was such a tragic event, a world-changing event. No one saw it coming, but they should have seen it coming. Years later, as they started to do investigations and as they started to reflect and see and study and see, like, what were the signs, what were things that were coming, what was the intelligence that they had, they realized that different intelligence agencies had different information, but they weren't sharing it necessarily. And after they did all of the investigation, they realized they should have seen it coming, but they didn't. And as we continue in our Easter series here, everyone saw what no one saw coming. On this Good Friday, we're going to look at what happened on that fateful day that no one saw coming, but eventually everyone saw. The tragedy of 9/11 and so many lost lives produced a lot of reflection to look back and say, why did we not see this coming? But in our lives on this Good Friday, we look as well and see the great sacrifice of Jesus in giving up his life, and for us to realize that God was doing something on that day that no one saw coming. But eventually, everyone saw. Everyone saw what was happening to Jesus, as we've been reflecting today. But what no one saw, what was happening through Jesus. There was something exceptional. There was something outstanding. That was something amazing. That was something out of this world, supernatural, that was happening through Jesus, when everyone else was just seeing what was happening to Jesus. And so if we look at this, we see what no one saw coming. No one saw coming Judas's betrayal, apart from Jesus, of course. This exception is Jesus, because he knows everything. But no one saw Judas's betrayal coming. The disciples were shocked in themselves when Judas betrayed Jesus. No one saw Peter's own denial coming. In fact, they said, no, we will never deny you. They didn't see Jesus' beating coming. This man who only did good things and blessed people and did miracles and signs and wonders, they didn't see the kind of beating that Jesus would take, the kind of blood that he would shed. They didn't see coming Jesus' own forgiveness towards his enemies. This was unheard of. You can forgive maybe the people that are your friends and your family when they do something bad to you, but forgiving even your enemies? What they didn't see coming was that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, would come down to suffer with his people. They didn't see that coming. They didn't see that God would make a way for humanity to come back to him. They didn't see that God would open a pathway. As Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus was making a way for you and for me to come back to God. They saw what was happening to Jesus, but they didn't see what was happening through Jesus as he made a way for us. And no one saw coming that love, oh, such amazing love, would be personified in Jesus. And so, friends, let's just look at this very quickly. Firstly, no one saw the coming. No one saw coming Judas's betrayal. That was hard for Jesus to go through. While they were eating, he said, Jesus telling the disciples in the Last Supper, as we just partook of the last of a symbolism towards the Last Supper, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? They didn't see this coming. It wasn't something that they expected. These were 12 men that followed Jesus, which is, it was a tight-knit community, but one ended up betraying him. They didn't see that coming. Peter's denial, they didn't see coming at all. This man who was really the right hand of Jesus, the person that Jesus said, Peter, you are the rock. The person that was sort of the leader of the pack. Here it says in Matthew, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, the night of Jesus' betrayal, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. No, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. Well, that didn't last very long. A few hours later, he was denying Jesus. No one saw that coming. Nobody saw the kind of beating that Jesus would go through, the stripes on his back. If you've been following along in the Lectio 360 app for this week, there's a description of that. The kind of beating that he went through, the kind of suffering that he went through, the nails and the spikes that dug into Jesus' back. For you and for me, we read this verse earlier in Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that you could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Nobody saw this coming. Although it was prophesied about, although it was talked about, they did not see the suffering servant. They wanted and expected, as we saw on Sunday, a king to come and reign over Israel. They did not see that that king would actually be a suffering servant who would bear the sins of the people. Oh, they didn't see that coming. Oh, and friends, what they didn't see was that as Jesus hung there on the cross, and two thieves on either side of him, and the centurions and the soldiers who had beaten him and mocked him and made fun of him and put the nails through his hands and put the nails through his feet. And as the crowd jeered and as the crowd mocked him and as he hung there naked for all people to see and as he hung there in humiliation and in shame, what no one saw coming was when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they didn't see that coming. All they knew was revenge. If you did this to me, I'm going to get back at you. Oh, but Jesus changed the script. The upside down kingdom of God tells us that if someone hits us on one cheek, then we should turn the other cheek. If someone asks us to go 1 mile, we go 2 miles. Oh, the upside down kingdom of God says that if our enemy mocks us and does evil against us, we love them. We forgive them. We follow the footsteps of Jesus. Nobody saw that coming. Who teaches that? Who talks about that? Oh, Jesus was the one that started talking about that. You know, we all go through suffering and we all go through pain. We all go through trials and difficulties. And maybe you're here today and you're going through a struggle. Maybe something you wrote on one of those cards was about the struggle you're going through, the suffering you're going through. And you're asking God, why, Lord, did you allow this in my life? Why do I have to go through this sickness? Why do I have to go through this pain? Why do I have to go through this family problem? Why do I have to go through these struggles in my life? And maybe things are not making sense to you. But what nobody saw coming, friends, is not that God sits up in heaven and says, you're suffering, too bad for you. We might not know all the reasons why we go through suffering and pain, but one thing that we do know that nobody saw coming was that the eternal God would say, I'm not going to leave you alone in your suffering. I'm not going to leave you alone in your pain. But I am going to come from heaven down to earth and suffer for you and suffer with you. And you don't have to do this alone, because I will be with you. No one saw that the eternal God would suffer. Do you know that today? That Jesus is God, and he has suffered for you and for me. In 1 Peter 3, it says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Christ suffered for you and for me. And we might not understand the will of God and all of the things God allows in our life. And we might wonder, why is this suffering? Why is this pain? Why is this difficulty? And I might not have answers for you. But what I do have to tell you from what Jesus has done for us is that he does not want you to suffer alone. And he displayed that on the cross of Calvary, that you and I can know his love and be close to him. In John chapter 10, it says, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. This is the meaning and the message of Good Friday, that the good shepherd lays down, sacrifices, surrenders his life for the sheep. That's us. That's you and me. We are the sheep that Jesus lays down his life for. And what no one saw coming, friends, that God would make a way to come back to him. The beautiful story arc of humanity starts in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God, and they were kicked out of the garden. Fellowship with God was disconnected. There was a separation between God and man because our sin separates us from God. But what no one saw coming was when Jesus came into this world, he made a way for us to come back to God. He made a way for us to come back to the presence of God. He made a way for us to know the living and true God, that we don't need to be far away from God. The Word of God says that once we were aliens, we were foreigners, we were far away from the presence of God, far away from the love of God, far away from anything to do with God, far away from Jesus. But when Jesus came into this world, he made a way so that you and I can come back to God's presence. You and I can know the eternal God. He is not some faraway God out there that we cannot know. No, he wants to abide with us. He wants to be close to us. And what no one saw coming was that Jesus would make that way for humanity. That we now can know and feel the presence of our Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are drawn closer to God. We come to know the living and true God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, I want you to know today that there is a way back into communion with God. There is a way back into fellowship with God. There is a way back into relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his blood shed for you and for me. And finally, this is the best part of the message of Easter. It's the best part of the message of Good Friday, is what no one saw coming was that love would be personified in Jesus. What no one saw coming was that when Jesus came into this world, this was the character of the living God manifested in human form. This was the living God who is God is love. 1 John tells us God is love. And when Jesus came into this world, He was the manifestation of the entire character of God, summed up in his love for you and for me. Friends, this is an amazing story of the gospel, the amazing story of Easter. It is the story of Good Friday, that Jesus is the personification of love, and nobody saw that coming. But they eventually saw it. They saw it on Calvary. They saw it on Good Friday when Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for them, and they saw, look at what kind of love this is. Even one of the centurions who was standing by the cross said, truly, this must be the Son of God. Oh, the great love of God. Oh, the great love of God. They didn't see it coming. They didn't see the love of God that was going to come and flood humanity, come and flood the earth, because Jesus, the manifestation of God's character, the manifestation of God's presence, the full display of God's love was seen in Jesus, his compassion, his kindness, his grace, his forgiveness, even for his enemies. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this, friends, is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Isn't that amazing? He sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is love. This is real love, that he sends his Son for you and for me. Oh, the love of God personified in Jesus. And friends, the love of God is here today. If you've never experienced the love of God before, I want to tell you that Good Friday is a message of love. It is love personified in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, we know what real love is, because Jesus gave up his life for us. Love personified in Jesus was on full display on Calvary. Love personified in Jesus was on full display on Good Friday, when Jesus hung on the cross and gave up his life for you and for me, when Jesus hung on the cross and gave up his life for all of humanity. That was love personified. Greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus didn't lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies. Oh, friends, what great love that is. What kind of love that is. This is what nobody saw coming. But what everyone ended up seeing, what you and I can see today, is this. We see a cursed death of Jesus hanging on the cross, because cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree, Galatians 3 verse 13 says. They saw a cursed death, but no one saw a king enthroned. That Jesus would leave and die in this world and rise up to sit at the right hand of the Father. Everyone saw the blood that was being shed on the cross, that blood when Jesus was beaten and when Jesus was hit, everyone saw that blood. But what they didn't see was substitution. The substitutionary atonement that Jesus made for you and for me, that he took our place. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus took our place and died so that we wouldn't have to die for our sins. They saw the blood, but what they didn't see was the substitution. They saw a Passover week, but what no one saw was a new Exodus. That Passover that they were celebrating, and we had a Seder meal earlier on this week, that Passover that they were celebrating was signifying the Exodus, the first Exodus that the children of Israel had, leaving Egypt, walking into freedom. But what they didn't see is that Passover, Jesus, our true Passover, Jesus, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, was leading a new Exodus, an Exodus out of sin, an Exodus out of bondage, an Exodus out of addictions, an Exodus out of fear, an Exodus out of anxieties, an Exodus out of all of the things that trouble us, and into newfound liberty, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, they didn't see that coming. Everyone saw the death of Jesus, but no one saw the new covenant of life. They saw him die, and as he died, and as he breathed his last, they thought all hope is gone. This man we followed for 3.5 years, now what has become of him? But what they didn't see was that Jesus was purchasing and sealing a new covenant with his blood, a new covenant where he'll give us a new heart and a new mind, a new covenant where he writes his laws and his commandments on our heart and on our mind, a new covenant that he makes with you and me, a covenant of life, because he said, I have come to give them life and life in all of its abundance. Oh, they didn't see that coming. They saw death, but they didn't see new life in Jesus. They saw a public spectacle of people mocking and people jeering and people saying all sorts of things. But what no one saw was a great reversal. The time when the enemy thought, I have the victory. The time when the enemy thought, the devil thought, I'm going to crucify the Son of God. I am going to get victory over this. Oh, you've had enough victory, Jesus, but today is my day. You're going to die on the cross, and I am going to have the victory, and all your people are going to scatter. I'm going to smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Oh, I'm going to have the victory today. What they saw in death, people didn't realize, was actually the greatest reversal in all of humanity. That they thought, the devil and the evil spirits thought they had the victory. Oh no. Oh, Jesus took captivity captive, and he led the people into liberty and freedom. And his death, I don't want to give you any spoilers, but it's coming in a couple of days. It's coming in a couple of days. You can have, devil, you can have what you think is your victory for a day or two. But let me tell you, there's a story that's coming, because Sunday's coming, and there's a resurrection day that's coming. And what people thought was the greatest defeat of all of humanity became the greatest victory of all of humanity. Oh, they didn't see that coming, but it was coming. And it was all because of the love of Jesus. But God showed his great love for us. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, friends. Not because we were good, not because we did any good things, not because there was something notable about us. No. God showed his great love for humanity, for you and for me, while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, while we were far away from God. Friends, that is great love. And no one saw that coming. No one saw that coming. That amazing and wonderful love of God. You know, 2 weeks ago, some of you would have seen in LaGuardia Airport in the United States, there was an Air Canada flight. And as the Air Canada flight was landing, there was a truck that was coming across the runway. And if you see the footage, it's horrible. And the truck was coming across, and they were trying to tell the truck, stop, stop, don't cross the runway. But this Air Canada flight landed and went head on into that truck, and the two pilots died. But do you know what nobody saw? Do you want to know what nobody understood about what those pilots did? What is our natural reaction? If you're driving and a car comes in front of you, what are you going to do? What's your natural reaction? Your split-second reaction? Swerve. Let's avoid. We don't know, because we don't have any words, and we don't understand what was in the mind of the pilots. But what we can say is this, that the natural reaction is to swerve. And if they swerved, other pilots have said that if they swerved, they could have flipped the plane. If they swerved, all of the gas in the wing would have hit the truck, and there would have been a huge explosion, and probably a ton of more people would have died. But instead, those two pilots, they kept the plane steady. They kept the plane straight, knowing that they were going to go head on, and their death meant life for the rest of the people in the plane. Friends, this is what Jesus has done for us. Worship team, please come. A familiar verse that we all know. Can I invite you to stand? And let's say this verse together, because this is the message of the gospel. Let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, God wants to give you eternal life. And God wants you to know his love, because God so loved the world. God so loved you and me. Friends, can I ask you, just receive God's love, because it is so great and it is so marvelous. And he wants you to know his love today.